Now, it's time for the TimberTech Decking and Railing Postgame Show. TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Welcome in. It is the TimberTech Decking and Railing Postgame Show on The Score. We've got the great man Olin Krutz, we've got Patrick Manley, and I am Mully from the morning show. And unfortunately, that is it. That is the end of the Bears season, eliminated in overtime after one of the most dramatic plays you're ever going to see in the NFL. Patrick, rough one. Rough way to go out.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you're sitting there. It's another game where you're writing your narrative of the game and you're thinking about they're not converting on third downs, a couple takeaways or turnovers early, and then all of a sudden Caleb becomes Caleb and makes that darn throw, and you thought we were going to see it again. And it's just disappointing that the season ended that way and overtime the way it did with the final interception. You know, you lose the turnover battle 3-0 and you're still in the game. It was kind of shocking, but I guess there'll be a lot of, you know, conversation. Was that on DJ Moore? Was that on Caleb? We don't know, but I got to give Dennis Allen a lot of credit in that defense for what they did to Sean McVay in that offense and Matthew Stafford, but just the offense didn't come to play. The run game struggled a bit in the third and shorts and the fourth and shorts, and it's just disappointing. It's really disappointing because I thought they were writing another storybook ending and another storybook win, but just came up short. But I tell you what, though, man, a hell of a season, and I'll just say this, I think it's a hell of a start for this new regime here with the Chicago Bears.
Ah, man. What a football game. What a football game. Yeah. They fought hard, kind of like we talked about in the pregame show. You just know how much guts this team has, right? And how hard they fight together, how hard they play the game, how they believe they can beat anybody, even a team like the Rams or Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay and all the talent they got, and they got them here in the cold weather, and it seems to be affecting them. And, you know, Joe Tooney, you know, moving out to left tackle. We talked about how crazy of an idea that was and what a great teammate he is. But Caleb needed to be a multiplier, right? And at the end of the game, when they needed him most, and Verse finally got Joe Tooney, guess who was the multiplier, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Tice tweeted out, Nate Tice, I think it's Mike Tice's son, but tweets out that ball went 51.2 yards in air, if you can believe it. Right, running backwards, and Cole Kmet catches it, and the defense, and Dennis Allen's plan, Pat and Mully. I mean, with the cornerbacks, and we talked about last week how he used the DBs to set the edge in the run game because he knows his ends can't, and the blitzes, and how much it was confusing the offensive line of the Rams and confusing Stafford, and they couldn't get their plan of protection together, and then they score that late touchdown, and the Bears just ended the whole game, and just thought they'd find some way again to pull it off, right? And I almost was, you know, I couldn't even believe they made that field goal, to be honest with you, at the end. I just, that kind of year, right? Like, yeah, oh, wait, we're going to get the ball one more time, right? Like,
it's that kind of year. Where's Josh Blackwell?
Like the season's not over, right? But never happy after a loss, but that team, man, that team fought together. I think they got their quarterback. I think they got their coach. The future looks bright here in Chicago for the Chicago Bears.
A tough one, but you have to feel grateful for that season. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing season, and I think it's made believers out of a lot of people, and I agree with what you're saying, Olin. I mean, it's you know, it's a pity that you had that third pick in overtime. It's a pity, and I don't know. I feel like that throw to end the game was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Have you ever seen a guy that retreats like that and still somehow has the competency or the belief or whatever word you want to use to then fling it into the corner of the end zone for a touchdown? That was insane. I mean, that's not a rational thing to have happen in the NFL.
What did Romo Dunze's quote? What was his quote, Pat? The most amazing throw until he throws the next one.
Yes,
right.
So right.
That's what he said after he made the, you know, week after week, it's like, is that the most amazing throw you've ever seen? And yeah. Romo Odunze with the quote of the year for Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. right? Until he hits the field the next time and throws it again, right? And it's just like you're talking about. I mean, every interception, as you guys know, has its own story. And I'm waiting to hear what the three guys say about it, right? DJ Moore, yeah. Ben Johnson, and Caleb Williams. What was the thought process? Why did you throw it out there? What did you think DJ was going to do? What did DJ think he was going to do? We saw that DJ took some hits through that game, really ran, yes. played a good game, really tough, right? Bears struggled on short yardage. I thought that was the only time that changing their offensive line showed up there on short mm-hmm. yardage plays, right? Where it wasn't as physical. It was probably more for pass protection to put Joe Tooney out there, and I thought in short yardage situations that hurt them. But Caleb, the interception, the throw, Mully, Pat, I mean, when he threw the ball, I literally, they panned to him, and I looked at the, they got that VMH on his pads, right? The Virginia mm-hmm. McCaskey-Hallis. And I'm like, she's pulling them off this year, man, right? Yeah. She is giving us some amazing endings. But this guy, man, to go backwards, they're showing a replay right here on TV, Pat. No, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen one, but I don't know how many times I've said that this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's been the whole year. That's eight games, right? They came back in the final 2 minutes to at least tie it, or, they won seven of them. And I just thought it was another one. I just thought this year that, this was the year that was going to happen. And Sean McVay's face, that's one of the best opponent coaches' faces I've seen in a while after that throw. Just a complete shock. But, just overall, guys, just to sum up that season again, just a miraculous season. You go back in the last 25 years, everybody talks about 2001 and those back-to-back wins. Obviously, 06, going to the Super Bowl, 2010. But, 2018, they went to the playoffs. But this, to me, was a season comparable to that 2001, where you just couldn't believe it happened. Things happened that you haven't seen before. But what I think is different is that this is the building of a team. The building blocks are there. You know what I mean? We have a quarterback. We've been begging for a quarterback for years. We have a guy in the fourth quarter that can get you to come back and keep you in the game. We have a coach who we believe in. We have an O-line right now. We have some excellent young receivers. I think there's some holes on the defense that can be fixed. We got a defensive coordinator I think is going to be here for a little while. And I just think the future is bright, and I am happy. I'm proud of the guys for the season. And I'll tell you what, man, it was a joy working with you guys this year. It was a lot better than the last decade that we've had together doing this. But it's just unfortunate to come down that way. And they got to hang their heads high after a season like that. I know it's a disappointing loss, but what a damn season the Chicago Bears had.
Yeah, just an amazing season from all the way from, the Raiders game on, right? You go Raiders, mm-hmm. Commanders, and find a way to beat the Bengals and then moving on and then beating the Packers twice and winning that wild card game, the way the fashion that they won the games, the comebacks that they made. And that's why, when you watch them on film and you kept talking about this team, you're like, yeah, I know what the roster looks like. I know that's McVay over there on the sideline, but this is going to be a dogfight here at Soldier Field, right? You knew that this team, with the heart that they played with, you knew that they were going to protect this house, right? You knew mm-hmm. that they were going to protect Soldier Field, and you weren't going to come in here and just run over this football team and leave with an easy win, even if it takes a miracle again at the end, right? And maybe when you keep doing miracles, maybe they're not miracles anymore, right? Maybe this team is just talented, skilled, and a quarterback is good, and he can hurt you from anywhere on the field. And even in the end of the game, I mean, when he's scrambling for the first down, right, number 10, he's got every angle on him. And he jukes him out, and he runs for the first down, puts his head down. So really, really just Manungai running guys over, mm-hmm. the defense. And Brisker, I thought Brisker looked like the best safety in the league tonight.
That was his best game by a mile.
It was unbelievable.
Wasn't it phenomenal?
Unbelievable, man. Yeah. Him and the defense and the D-line stepping up and the cornerbacks and Kyler Gordon on his blitzes and just competing at every turn for a team that, I didn't have in a playoff. So who am I to talk about how bad this loss was? I didn't even have this team in the playoffs. I had them at 500 or under. And, Pat, like you're saying, got your coach, you got mm-hmm. your quarterback, you got some O-line pieces, you got some receivers, and now you just keep adding to this football team. And the future looks bright here in Chicago. You just competed with, a team with the best quarterback and people say the best coach in the playoffs.
And guys, they talked about belief all year long, right? I think that belief carries over to next year because of what you just said and who you talked about, Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, that, you know, they talked about belief and winning all these games. But when you have players like that and you've done it in the past, it's going to carry over to the offseason. It's going to carry over to training camp. It's going to carry over to the start of next season. And I just think they're a team now to be reckoned with. I think the NFL now knows the Chicago Bears are real, and they're only going to get better with what they have. So I'm excited for it. And just, yeah, again, it's disappointing they lost, but just what a damn year. What a fun year for us, man.
Pat, Mully, you're a free agent, right? And you see the national anthem, and you see this Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and the crowd and the city of Chicago and the way it looks like this, that this, the way this franchise looks like it's headed. I mean, how could you not, if the Bears won't come to you and offer you a contract, how could you not want to be a part of what they're doing? And I haven't said that in a long time about the Chicago Bears, right? I have not said that, you know, off air, you know, you would say, why would anybody want to come here? I mean, remember when Caleb Williams, we were going to draft Caleb. There was rumors he did not want to come here. His dad didn't want him here, and they couldn't win and develop quarterbacks. This seems like a place that people want to play football right now, at Halas Hall, at Soldier Field, with the fans, with the crowd, with the way that things are, their culture, that they look like they've built. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of it?
I think you're onto something there, because a lot of times people want to win. You know, you get to a point in your career, like, I want to go somewhere where I can win. I want to fit in somewhere where I can win. You get the sense that this team's going to win. And what's weird about it is we always have these different discussions about, is it sustainable winning close games? Is that sustainable? I think when you have self-belief, that's sustainable. When you have a quarterback that believes in his own skills so much, even as he's retreating, he can figure out how far he has to go in order to throw a pass for a touchdown. It's like, that's insane self-belief. He was calm as he was retreating, and you're kind of like, oh no, like, this is a different zip code. What did you say, 52 yards in the air?
Yeah.
Holy mother of God. But if you have that kind of self-belief, and if it's reinforced by the guy that's coaching you and he has that kind of self-belief, I think that's sustainable. Belief it's almost like a mental trick that you can perform, and you're going to be standing there and giving people the code for their ATM. Yeah, I mean, how does he do that? It's extraordinary.
Well, I think he's just proved to us that's who he is. You know, they talked about the generational talent coming out of the draft, right? These throws and amazing things he can do. And people questioned, could he do that in the pros? And then we said, okay, he started to show that a little bit last year, and obviously showed it this year. And the biggest question was, can he kind of process information? And I think with him and Ben Johnson working together, that's been proven. And we saw it today. I thought some of the reads and the blitz recognition and where to go with the ball, he was on point. And he's only going to get better, which is kind of scary. So if you have that generational talent and we're seeing these amazing throws of these amazing opportunities and unbelievable times, and then he learns to be a Matthew Stafford between the ears, then you have something. And that's what I think is just special. And I think that young man has it. And I think just going on, like we said, as disappointing as this loss was, we'll look back at the season and say it was amazing. And we're going to say this was the start of something. This was the start of sustained success in a run of great Bears history. And I'm excited to be able to talk about it, excited to be a part of it, excited to be able to watch it and witness it.
Remember in after week one, right, the Vikings came back, beat the Chicago Bears late, and we had that feeling again. But remember, we watched the film, and I don't want to speak for you guys. I remember remember what I said on the pregame show, is that the film said they had no chance against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was what the film said. And they go out there and they get beat pretty bad against the Detroit Lions, against the Raiders. Ah, man, kind of looked like luck. But all I'm saying is, I'm fast forward to this week, and I'm watching the film, and I'm watching the things Caleb's doing. I'm watching Ben Johnson's doing. I'm watching the adjustments Dennis Allen is making. I'm watching the way his secondary is making plays on blitzes, and guys, you know, guys are getting to the quarterback in the second half with Montez Sweat and Colson Loveland and Swift and Darnell Wright and Jonah Jackson, and guys making plays. And you know what you say? No, they can beat the Rams, right? That's what you say now. They can beat the Rams, and we're talking about the the Los Angeles Rams, Patty Mullen. We're talking about Sean McVay. We're talking about Stafford, right? We're talking about Puka Nacua, unstoppable.
Oh,
right. That's what you're saying going into this game, right? Jared Verse. I mean, how is Tooney going to hang with Verse on the edge? Well, Tooney said, "Very fine, thank you very much." Right? Why would you play McFadden? Right? Why all these things that you're talking about, and you go through all the process of matching up the rosters and talking about coaches and saying, "Okay, our job is to say, okay." The last thing Mully always asks us every week is, who's your pick? Who you got to win? I tell you what felt damn good this year, picking the Bears and believing it. Not just picking them because it was the Packers, right? Not just picking them because I'll never pick the Green Bay Packers. This year, picking the Bears, Pat, I really thought they were going to beat the Rams.
100%.
I really, really thought that. And that's what the film says, Pat.
Yes. And you named 8 or 9 guys quickly, right? We haven't been able to name 8 or 9 guys that can be different makers, whether they're up front on the O-line, to receivers, to quarterback, to DBs. And that's the difference in this game and in this team. And you got to give Ryan Poles credit as well. You know, we thought he was a little bit behind. We were going into the season. Why did they extend him? You just named 8 to 10 guys there that are playing, that are ball players, that are now we have on all pro, a second team all pro at tackle, 3 pro bowlers. I mean, you have guys that you believe in. Like you said, you break down the tape and you're like, yes, we can win because of these guys, not because just, you know, hope and luck. I mean, what was I say? Hope all the time the last few years. That's thrown out now. Now you can win because of scheme, players, and everything else.
Yeah, remember, it's something.
Go ahead, Molly. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry, Owen.
No, I was just going to say, you know, stuff like watching a game with my 2 sons and they're like, Dad, when's the last time one guy tackled Luther Burden? I said, never. You know, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's going to make the first guy miss every time, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, Rome Odunze has that drop early, but he has big catches throughout the game, right? He has big catches throughout the football game. It's just a lot of young guys that you know, what is Austin Booker eventually going to be? I don't know. I don't know what he's eventually going to be, right? So just Jalen Johnson will be healthy again. And I want to give Jalen Johnson a quick shout-out, man. I've been through that myself sometimes where – you know, people are talking to you in the building and saying, okay, we do need you, man. If you can come back, if you can give us anything, play. And you know, he's not 100%, but he's playing. Yes. He's going out there, and he's still one of the better guys they got. I mean, imagine that defense without him, right? Yes. And people are saying, well, he doesn't look the same. He doesn't look over. Yeah, sure. He's not. He came back for his teammates to play and provide whatever he could provide.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got to take a quick timeout. We will be right back. The phone number is 312-644-6767. Go ahead. If you're just warming up, give us a call. We'll huddle up with you. Unbelievable game, unbelievable season. And, again, you should feel a certain amount of gratitude for the way this went this year. But I'm sure we have people who are disappointed. Just an extraordinary finish to the game and getting to overtime and getting the ball back. It just was all there, and it really, I think, fuels the future a little bit. We'll be right back. You're listening to the TimberTech Decking and Railing post-game show on The Score.
His nickname is the Thicker Kicker. It's never been a thicker pressure moment to send the Rams to the championship game. Mavis of 42 online, and it's good! And the Los Angeles Rams go to the championship game with an overtime win in Chicago.
We're back with more of the TimberTech Decking and Railing postgame show. TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com on Chicago's Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Welcome back to the TimberTech Decking and Railing postgame show on The Score. And must say that... that it is, it's just one of those nights that you kind of, you know, you have this betwixt and between feeling where you kind of are sad to see it end, but man, it was just a hell of a ride and a hell of a game. And, you know, they lost again on that Sunday Night Football. I don't know that I want to hear those guys ever again, to be honest with you. Chris Collinsworth, I'd like to double doink that guy sometime. I don't know. There's something about him that just is so bloody annoying.
See, when I double doing people, I lose jobs. I don't know what's going on around here.
I tell you what, though, I was expecting a double doing from Meavis at the end of the game, just the way the Bears have been, you know, the luck of the one. I'm like, all right, he's going to hit the upright on this 42 yarder.
Yeah. No, it was. It's just a. It's, you know, the Bears and, you know, these interceptions, some of them were not good, right? And Caleb, I think he has 5 in the last 3 games. And,
yes.
There's a lot of things to talk about in this game, but I don't know. It just doesn't – with the year we just watched, it just doesn't feel like the time to break down everything that was wrong with that football game. And, you know, I got a public service announcement for everybody on Twitter. Ben's never going to kick it, so don't keep driving yourself crazy, right? He's never going to kick the field goal and do things the safe way, right? He thinks he should go for it on 4 downs, and he's always going to be aggressive. And those are the things that make him – who he is, and then the Chicago Bears today come up short in overtime, right to the Rams and Stafford, and it's just, man, it was another amazing ride to watch them play and their last throw and find their way back into a football game. Pat and Mully, that it didn't seem like on paper they should have been in, but when you turn their film on, you know that they're going to fight them to the end and find a way to be in the game.
Yeah, and Mully, that's well said, too, because it is a disappointing loss. But when you look at it, Nolan, you're right as well, that you celebrate the season. You celebrate the fun we had and all that kind of stuff, and there is other time. We'll break it down, but it's just, I mean, what a heck of a season, what a run, and just the positive feeling you take from a loss, and I'm taking the positive feeling, is what we have going forward. This, you know, next year when the season starts, I think we're going to be talking about what seed are the Bears going to be in the playoffs, not – if they're going to make the playoffs, and how refreshing is that going to be to be talking that way about a Chicago Bears football team?
You know, the other thing here is when you look on the team stats for that game, the Bears kind of won every category known to man. Mm-hmm. They had 417 total yards to 340, 257 passing yards to 229, 160 rushing yards to 111, 5.1 yards per play to 4.4. They had one more first down. They were 9 of 19 on third to 5 and 16. They won time of possession. Like if you just read the stats, you'd think they had won the game.
Yeah, and then you got, and whenever I see stats like that and someone lost, I got to go to the takeaways.
Yes.
And they were -3. Right?
Yes.
And that's usually what. It's hard to win a game in the NFL, be -3, and that's why, you know, in the last 2 weeks they've been -5.
Yes. Right?
And if you're looking the stat,
you're right.
That's been the problem the last 2 weeks. It has been that, and Caleb has been trying to make all the plays that he's made. There's been a few throws where I don't know. You know, it seems like they're either miscommunication or he just shouldn't throw that ball. Shouldn't throw that ball over the middle there. I know that. You know, Chris Collinsworth said that, you know, Kemet ran the wrong route, or was it Colson Loveland, or and he shouldn't have thrown the other one down up the sideline. But that's, you know, like Mully, like, you know, that has been their strength throughout the year.
Yeah. Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, just looking at the stats going into the game, it was like, okay, now he's got 3 and you know, okay, now it's, you know, now we got too many takeaways, and now you're -3 today.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first one was almost like a punt. I mean, I know it wasn't, but, I mean, I don't know. But that last one hurt, I'll tell you that.
Well, and the drops, too, guys. The drops were huge. Rome's drop in the end zone to start the game. There were drops, you know, the entire game. And
he was slightly behind him on a couple. But, like, DJ Moore made, like, a one-handed left-hand catch.
That was sick. That was,
I mean, that
good.
Was sick.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
That was,
but there
good
were some
catch,
drops.
Man.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, there's things you look at that should have been there. If you make that touchdown to start the game, that's 7-0, right, instead of the turnover. And, or do you kick the field goal? There's a lot of stuff you go back and look at. But, again, they put themselves in a position to win it in overtime, and they couldn't get it done. Another stat, too,
yardage,
they had 4
short
sacks.
Yardage is a real problem, right? Short yardage is a real problem today.
Wow.
So that's something to go back and look at and see, okay, what was going on there? I thought that they were – missing their left side of their offensive line, personally, for me, and they had to go too right side heavy, right? They had to run to the right side a little too much, and they were getting pushed back a little bit on that side. And obviously, Dolman had a really good matchup with Puna Ford there in the middle, and won some and lost some, and Puna Ford's a good player. I think the guy's, you know, generously listed at 5'11", maybe, or 6 feet. So moving those guys off the ball is not easy all the time. But that obviously, you know, the takeaways, short yardage, and then, you know, not getting on some of the fourth downs was a big problem today. Because the defense, I think Ben would agree that, you know, he said it last week, if they hold them to, you know, X amount, you know, under 20 points in regulation, then we should win the football game.
We have a lot of people who want to check in. We got full phone lines, so if someone drops off, that's when you can jump on. We'll start taking your calls, 312-644-6767. We'll start with John. John's in Wheaton. Hey, John.
Hey, fellas. How are you, man?
Good.
Good, man. I guess I just want to talk a little bit about the Bears' defensive line. I just kind of feel like the interior pressure from the Bears' line all year has just not been there. And, like, if they could just improve that and collapse that pocket on quarterbacks, Montez Sweat's salary would be, like, like, okay. But, like, I just feel like the pressure from the D tackles just hasn't been there. And maybe that's Dennis Allen's defense, but, like, I mean, that's the thing that's bothered me for the whole year is, like, why haven't the Bears been able to be pressured inside to force the defensive ends to make a lot of plays outside? So just curious to get your thoughts. I'm so pleased with the season. Believe me, I think a lot of Bears fans are, Mully and Olin and Pat. I mean, we shouldn't have been here, but here we are, and we've got improvements to make. But I'm just hoping that the Bears can really make a push on defensive front four to see how this team can improve.
I think we got it. I mean, you know, they had a lot of injuries on that team, on that line, and they had a lot inside. You know, they signed Grady Jarrett not just because he was a captain-type guy, a good leader, but because he was a good player. And unfortunately, he had a surgery earlier in the year to clean up the knee, and he hasn't been healthy, I don't think. And we haven't seen the best of him. They signed him to a 3-year deal, so you hope you see the best of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the guy you were hoping that would get the pressure, right? I thought just watching, you know, knowing Olin, watching him in Atlanta – and the way he played, I just think his knee really, you know, bothered him quite a bit this season. And he only had, what, 1.5 sacks this year. But, yeah, I think if you look at this team and what they've built, we've talked about what they've built and what going forward, I think for sure pass rush has to be the number one thing that Ryan Poles looks at. Hey, Mully, we can start talking about the draft now. So looking forward in the draft. Yeah, so I agree. And if you fix that, that makes Montez better. That makes the defense better. Makes Dennis Allen's job a lot easier instead of dialing up these blitzes and bringing guys off the edge. So, you know, there are holes in this team. They're not perfect, obviously. And I think they're holes that are fixable now. It's not five holes. It's maybe one or two holes.
No doubt. And you do want some game records on that defensive line, right? And it's something we've talked about all year on the post-game show. Usually we get to the post-game show and I say, man, we need a little more pass rush, right, out of this defensive line, and somebody to wreck havoc, someone to close the show today, you know, against a guy like Matthew Stafford, right, a defensive tackle in the middle, and someone to get to the quarterback and harass him all game. But, you know, defense, against the Lions, they gave up 16, and against the Rams, they gave up 17 in regulation tonight, so and 20 for the whole overtime. So I think Ben Johnson probably agreed he got to score a little more points there. Yeah. On offense, what was probably the bigger problem. But, yeah, man, I mean, if you can get a game wrecker in the middle of that defensive line, you know, they were hoping Jervon Dexter was going to develop. Remember, he started the year at nose guard with Grady Jarrett starting a three technique. Then Grady Jarrett hurt his knee, and they moved Billings to nose guard, and Billings became the starting nose guard, and they started rotating Grady Jarrett and Jervon Dexter in and out and playing them left and right. And a lot of things changed, but I don't think anybody would disagree with the caller to say, man, they could use – a little more guys who wreck havoc there on the front four.
And I'm sure that's where they're going to direct their attention in that draft that we can't talk about. Maybe today we could. But I think they will kind of go in that direction. I think they probably need help both up front and in the secondary.
Yeah.
And get a linebacker, too, while you're at it.
And they could get a left tackle, right, if we're talking about draft and free agency. And
I thought that was forbidden, Olin. I thought we had
decided. Another pass-catching tight end. We'll get another one, man. I hope he's okay. I hope Loveland's had a great year.
I hope Loveland had a great year.
I hope he's healthy. I didn't see him much at the end of the game.
No, so he got hurt.
Hopefully it's nothing serious because I'm sure they missed him, too.
Yes, they did.
At the end of the game. But, I mean, what a great thing to think about for Chicago that now it's time to improve a team that looks, you know, you got a young quarterback, still on his rookie contract, a young coach, and now Ben Johnson is here. He probably knows exactly what he wants, right? What he wants on his team. He has his own ideas, and I'm sure he has a loud voice in there with Ryan Poe sitting in a room at that table. Gosh, knowing a guy like Ben Johnson, he might be already calling Ryan Poe to say, here's my list. Right, here's what I want next year. Here's how I think we can improve this football team and get past the division round and get to the championship and get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl.
Let's get to Kyle. Kyle worked the game, guys. Kyle was one of the officials. What were you doing, Kyle, for God's sake?
No, I wasn't one of the officials. I was a part of the game day staff. I was outside gate 45 out in the snow. So it was it was cold, but with that atmosphere, it's worth every second, no doubt.
I thought the fans did a great job of like letting the Bears run their offense and then cheering. It was like they had been drilled in how to behave at a game. It made Chicago look smart.
It's something that it's my second season doing it. It's something I didn't really see last year. So yeah, that was a nice thing about it. The fans are dialed in on it, but. You know, that's why I'm calling in. Like, I hope, you know, Bears fans, we have that, you know, typical being a little delusion and getting upset, but that's hopefully Bears fans just realize what this season was. We really haven't seen it. I know 2018 was great, but we really have not seen something as special as this season was. Obviously, you know, we got things to fix. I think defensively, like you guys touched on in the secondary, I'm pretty sure we run into some questions about who we pay between Brisker and Byard, things like that, but you know, we traded defense for offensive success, and we finally got it. It's great to see. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, we just look at this. Some things to clean up. Probably got to draft a lot of defense, make some tough decisions with personnel. But I just hope every Bears fan listening understands what this season was, and the future is bright with Ben, Caleb, all of it. So I hope all the Bears fans just keep their head up and look at the positive aspects of it, because what a season. What a job.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, guys, it's interesting. The first two calls have been generally positive. You know what I mean? Kind of they've summed up what we said, that you know, you're disappointed in the loss, but you just look at the whole picture of the season of how much fun that was and what we have going forward. And that's just interesting. The first two calls feel that way as well. And it'll be interesting to hear, you know, the callers as they come in, if they kind of feel the same way.
Definitely. Definitely a positive feeling for the first time in a long time after a Bears season, right, probably. First time since 2018, right? And even then, at the end of the year, you're like, man, I don't know about this quarterback here and what kind of player he can become. And can he be great? And can he be the multiplier you need to compete every year? But I'm talking about Mitch Trubisky, obviously. But with Caleb Williams, he has the talent, right? And obviously, we talked earlier about the interceptions bug you a little bit at the end of this year. But Ben Johnson, man, I mean, you can't help but be excited about this guy and everything he's brought and the way he just does it. Give a F about what people think and what he says and the way he's going to run his program and do the things that he wants to do. Now, obviously, Pat, like me and you know, you got to watch getting complacent up there at Hallis Hall and thinking you got everything figured out, right? You got to keep pushing. You got to keep your foot on the pedal, man, and stay on the things that he's preaching, the things he's doing, the culture that he demanded this year. And it's the first time in a long time we had a coach who said he was going to demand the football players, and it actually showed up on film.
Great stuff. Okay, we're going to be right back. We're going to continue the conversation. We have a lot of people who want to check in. You're listening to the Timber Tech Decking and Railing post-game show on The Score.
We're back with more of the TimberTech Decking and Railing postgame show. TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com on Chicago's Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Welcome back. It is the TimberTech Decking and Railing postgame show on The Score. And gentlemen, really kind of extraordinary that they completed, that they forced an overtime. Did anybody think for a second they might go for a two-point conversion, just given the fact that they were so good at not converting on third down? No, no, I mean, this third shot.
I was hoping they would, honestly, because I just think that I know some people said they're at home and what a defense is playing, and because I actually tweeted out, should they go for two before they even scored? And they were like, someone tweeted back, well, they got to score first. And I said, well, you haven't watched Caleb all year, right? They're going to score. But, you know, it's just, I just think the Rams are the better team. And why go to overtime with them, right? If you mm-hmm. if you're the better team, talent-wise, I just think you get to the end. And to me, that's the way the Chicago Bears win football games, right? Late, Pat, incredible plays, and a two-point conversion. And that's, you know, I didn't totally mind going to overtime. I just I had a thought in my mind, Pat, that hey, go for two.
I wasn't opposed to it, and then when they stopped him in overtime, I said Bears win. You know, they stopped him in that first series. Yeah. I thought the game was over. I just thought with the way the season's gone, I go, all right, this miracle season is going to continue, and they did it. The defense stepped up, and now it's time for the offense, who had kind of sputtered the whole game. I thought was going to step up and get it done with Caleb, but unfortunately, it didn't. But if they would have gone for two, I wouldn't have been extremely upset. But I don't know. What do you? It'll be interesting. I don't know if he's talked yet at the post game, if we get it to listen to it at all, but what his thoughts would be if he was asked about that as well.
Yeah, I think he spoke. They're working on it, and we should be able to get some in a little bit. Let's get back to the phone lines. Bob's in Arlington Heights. Hey, Bob.
Gentlemen, I'll be brief. I'm an old guy. I mean, I'm a really old guy. I was reading this morning's Tribune, waiting for the game, and they had a retrospective on the 63 Bears championship. And I'm happy to tell you, I remember it like it was yesterday, and I saw the game. And this has been a great season. And my friends call me Eeyore, so I'm not Pollyanna, but this was a great building block season. And the only thing I will say is I do think we need to shore up the defensive line. And I think it was, Mike, I think it was you that made the comment about the problems the Bears had tonight on short yardage running situations, you know, both on that first series where they ended up turning the ball over in the first quarter, and then again when we had first and goal at the sixth in the fourth quarter. I really think the absence, you know, the shuffling of the left side of the offensive line tonight hurt us more than we really thought it would. And there was, you know, it was unavoidable. I mean, we had a major injury last week, just like TJ Edwards on the defense last week broke his leg.
Right.
They shored up where they could, but those were little things that we just had, you know, I said to one of my friends this morning, we can win this game if we avoid dumb mistakes and if we have a clean game. When I saw the game last night, when I saw Seattle run roughshod over the 49ers and remembered the 49ers beating us 42-38, I'm going, there is no way I want our guys to go out to Seattle. And when I saw the way we played the Rams through the first half, I'm going, we could beat Seattle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, you know, yes, I'll cop to being an old guy, but, and I'm, you know, I've spent my entire life working in the credit business. So by nature, I'm not an optimist. And on top of being a Bears fan, I'm a lifelong Cub fan. So, you know, winning doesn't come naturally.
Yeah, but they had the 10-year anniversary this weekend. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for the phone call. What do you guys think?
I'm happy that Eeyore is happy. I mean, it's, again, that's the third call in a row that we've gotten that you know, this is satisfied with the season. I just saw on Twitter that I think the fans stayed and kind of gave a standing ovation to the team when they went through the huddle and they tunnel, and they deserve that. They deserve that through after the season. Yes, there is disappointment, no doubt about it, but you know, just what they gave us for the entire season and to the second week of the playoffs was truly unbelievable and just as entertaining as a season as I can remember for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, and I think the more important thing is Eeyore is fine, but you know, I have to live up to 1913 Trojans novel by Eleanor H. Porter's Pollyanna, who is a positive, always positive orphan child who finds joy in everything that she does. So I learned something from Bob, and he's right, Pat, to your point, man, that there is this team does make guys feel positive, and there is something to look forward to, and everyone seems to kind of, everyone knows what they want to fix already and which direction they want to go in, and but this team had an amazing run, man. They had an amazing year, and they showed a ton of guts. And for, you know, Mully obviously is, you know, from Chicago, the south side of Chicago. I've been here since 98, as long as Pat has. And you know what this city likes is toughness. People fight to the end and give you everything they got. And that's what this team did all year long.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Owen. That's a great comment. Aaron is in Wisconsin, of all places. Hey, Aaron.
Yeah, obviously a tough game. I'm, first of all, lifelong Bears fan, transplant up here in Baraboo, Wisconsin. So rough crowd up here. But, you know, looking back on the season, you know, you guys have touched on most of my thoughts already. Great season, obviously. I got a 7-year-old now. This was his first real intense year of watching and really getting into it. So it was fun and, you know, emotional for him at the same time. But, really, tonight's game specifically, you know, good takeaways for next year. We're going to have a great season next year. That's obvious. A few holes to fill that we talked about already. But the only thing I can say, and really it's not a negative, but, boy, I'd like to see 3 points on that first drive just to keep that positive momentum starting and not get that interception. And, hey, on the other positive note, we could do a show about making fun of Chris Collinsworth all night, and I'd laugh all night.
Thanks, Aaron. That's good stuff. You know,
Chris Collinsworth and Tony Romo. I mean, my gosh, man. Those two guys.
Oh, my. Poor Tony Romo. There's something
Greg
wrong.
Get Greg Olsen in the booth, please.
Do you know he has – he's making $25 million a year, and he's got, like, 5 years left on that deal? I don't know how you're going to mail it in for 5 more years. It's just
I want to be his agent.
It's crazy. he was rough, and then he revealed that he was sick, that he had been ill, and then he broadcast again, and you're kind of like, well, I guess you're still ill. Can a man have the flu for 10 days or whatever it was? Yeah, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Rough. I'm curious guys, when we talk about, you know, different broadcasters, stuff like that, you just want people to stay out of the way. You just want people to give you down and distance and kind of just some basic stuff. You don't have to paint a picture when you're watching it, and you don't have to explain something like, oh, the Bears had to get guys around Caleb Williams, so next year, they're going to have to get defense. It's like, I think everybody is aware of what's going on. Anybody who actually has watched this team, and the lack of insight is sometimes really annoying. It seems like cheerleading sometimes rather than analysis.
Or just all you have to say is what's going on, right? Yeah. That's all you have to do, really. I think Tom Brady has maybe done a nice job at it. It got them better and better. But just going on the game instead of always giving your opinion on the player or what he needs to improve on or what he does bad or what he does good, just – what happened on that play is all I really need.
Yes. Yeah, give me your expertise, right? If you're the quarterback or Greg Olsen, the tight end, if you really know the play or the breakdown of the play, just give me that. I don't need the opinion and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a little bit of Ben Johnson that we will play for you, and we'll get back to the phone lines as well. You're listening to the TimberTech Decking and Railing Postgame Show on The Score.
Gets to the throw. Brisker sacked at the 34. He had one all year, but he is having a terrific playoff.
Tyron Williams is going to take a quick glance that way and just missed the blitzer. He never saw him coming. He took one glance and saw it very late, and it was too late for Matthew Stafford. tell you what, we are seeing Dennis Allen coming out and playing this half like he played the second half against Green Bay. He is taking his shots.
Welcome back to the TimberTech Decking and Railing post-game show on The Score. And we're going to hear from Ben Johnson in just a second, but it is time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Jaquan Brisker gets the hot because he really did have a game. I mean, he was all over the field. He did a lot of stuff. He had a lot of I think he led the team in tackles. Obviously had a sack. So we'll go with Jaquan Brisker. And as far as who's cold, this is, guys, we get to pull one out of the vault. We have decided to go with Velus Jones Jr.
Yes.
Because he responded to the Bears' defeat with a laughing emoji. Velus, yeah. Remembering while he was dropping punts and fumbling the ball, he got cut from the Bears, and now apparently he feels like it's only fair for him to express some emotion, in his case, a laughing emoji. So way to go, buddy, and we missed having him as our permanent cold player. But
he should have listened to our postgame show.
Well, he should have put 5 laughing emojis since he's been on 5 teams since 2002. Right? He's got a lot of laughing emojis put out there. I'd like to talk about an actual guy who made it in the NFL, but I'd like to give my partner, Pat Manley, a little credit here, because I thought he was crazy, and he was talking about how the Bears matched up well because the Rams didn't really have a speed receiver. Mm-hmm. Now, when you watch that game, man, they were covering them, Pat. I mean, the secondary, it was a good matchup, yeah. Pat figured out styles make fights in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't have anybody to really take the top off the defense so they could blitz, play some tight man coverage. And I think, what was your end score, Pat? 17-16? Or what did you say?
17-16, yeah.
Yeah, 17-17 at the end of the end of regulation. So
yes.
I'd rather talk about a guy who actually played over 150 games in the NFL instead of 150 teams. In the NFL, in Velus Jones.
But I think total with 5 different teams, he dropped over 150 punts.
Oh, all right.
Velus Jones.
Man, I don't want to talk about that.
I just wanted to take a – just for old times.
If you're going to open the door, Pat, we'll kick it open.
All right, I like it.
If this is what you want to do.
As long as you got my back, Olin, I'll walk through any door.
You must be thinking about the 2002 Olin.
I know that guy. He's still in there. He ain't as good as I once was, right? But I'm good as I ever was.
I'll tell you what.
I hope so, man.
As I am aging, I want Olin to help me through the door. That would be one way to get going. Never mind my back.
Just help me get in and get to my seat, please. Oh, my gosh.
All right, we've got some Ben Johnson. Let's take a listen to the Bears head coach in the postgame.
All right, here we go. Colston was the one that didn't make it to the end there. He had a concussion, but everyone else, for the most part, made it through that game. But, disappointing result tonight. Our guys fought the entire way, just like they have all season long. I thought, this was very much like our team has been. And you got to give the Rams credit. Coach McVay does a phenomenal job. Coach Shula did a great job with their defense this week. And, they ended up making a couple more plays than we did. And that's why ended up going into overtime, and they ended up coming out on top. And so, like I said, disappointing result. Our guys are feeling it right now. They all believed, man. They all believed all year long that we could find a way to win each and every week. And so it's disappointing like that. But I am proud of the group. It's a special group. I said that a few weeks ago. I believe that. To my core, that you know, when you're with a group of men for the last time in a locker room, and you know it's just not going to be the same going forward. That you know, I appreciate all of them, the men and the women, you know, coaches, players, support staff, everybody that had a role this season. You know, it was a special year, and you know, this will be hopefully a feeling in this locker room that we won't forget, and we'll be able to use it as fuel going forward. But with that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
How do you describe the difficulty and the suddenness of this ending for that group?
Yeah, it's the NFL, right? Is you make it to the tournament like this, and the moment we knew we had to win four in a row to actually feel good at the end of the thing, and we didn't get that done, and so this is what happens: is it ends abruptly. And for the young players in the room, it's like, okay, well, we come in tomorrow, and we go through the exit process, and then we go on, you know. And but you know, the veteran leadership has been outstanding all year long. Those guys are a key part of what we've done. All those guys in that line, I mean, they've all played significant roles in us getting here to this point, and so. It ends quickly, and you know, that's life in this league.
And what did you think of the throw Caleb made at the end, backpedaling at the 40-yard line?
The fourth down to tie it up, yeah, ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean, you talk about that fourth and eight from last week, and how outstanding that was, and I think this one was probably even another level ahead of that. So. There's some things that you just can't coach. He's got that about him. He's got a knack. He's clutch. He does so many good things. He's an eraser. You know, I have plenty of bad calls each and every week, and he helps make it right for me. And, you know, I know he's feeling it because, you know, we didn't win and have some turnovers mixed in there, and, you know, he's feeling it. But he's one of those guys I'm talking about. We'll remember this feeling. You know, and he's going to be stronger for it.
Did you give much consideration to going for two there?
Thought about it, yeah. Thought about it. Probably what played a little bit of a factor was, you know, our goal-to-go situations hadn't gone very clean. Our inside-the-five plan hadn't worked out quite like we had hoped. And so just felt better about taking our chances there in overtime.
What was your viewpoint on the last interception from Caleb, both through his lens and the route that
he... You know, I'll have to see it. I stand behind the defense a little bit, so I did see space. I saw grass. And then the guy, you know, I didn't see that defender from my perspective, and so I'll have to see it. But I did think as the play was going on, I was like, oh crap, we got something. But great play by that player.
Ben, how do you make sure that the special feeling you guys have now carry over to something next season?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be something that next season's next season. I mean, it's a whole different group. It's a whole different chapter. It's, you know, we'll have to write a whole brand new story. And so that's the thing about this is you put in all this work and you sacrifice and you trust the people around you. And, you know, you can't take any shortcuts. So I wish I could say that this is momentum from year one, we'll take it. It doesn't work that way. And I honestly don't even want to talk about next year yet. There'll be a time and a place for it, but we're still hurting. We had a great opportunity here this year to make a name for ourselves, and I'm proud that we were able to get to this point and still disappointed that we fell short.
All right, that is Ben Johnson. What was your takeaway from that?
I thought that he said kind of what we all watched this year, right? That this was a special group that fought every play and believed they were going to win every football game when a lot of times it looked like maybe the other team even had a better roster, but they just kept improving, believed in what their coaches were telling them, believed in each other, and fought until the end. And the one thing that I really liked at the end was that he has a clear view of that this year doesn't always carry on to next year. Mm-hmm. Right? And it doesn't always mean you'll have a great year next year. And I think the words he used, Pat, was, that's just not the way it works. And right. I'll tell you what, man, from a guy who's been here for a long time, that is refreshing to hear from the head football coach of Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is. But also, in regards to that, too, I think deep down he knows he has stuff to build on. Each year is from year to year, right? And he kept talking about this special group, and we knew that some years were better than others. And I just go from 05 to 06. When I remember when 05 was done, I couldn't wait to get back even more in 06 just because I knew our core was there. I knew we had some young playmakers. I knew we had guys to build upon. And I know deep down Ben Johnson feels the same way, but you never know if it's going to be the same. You still have to lay the foundation, the groundwork. You know, he talks about you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. He has to get that thing going again. But I still think this coaching staff, after a couple beers or glasses of wine or whatever they have tonight or for the week and go vacation, when they get back, they cannot wait to get to work with the next special group and the core players they have right now to see where they can go forward. And it is hard to replicate each year, and you got to figure out what's going to happen the next year. And I'm going to knock on wood and say injuries happen, things like that can happen. But I think deep down he knows he's got a core that he can build on and maybe try to be better than he was this year. But it was a special group, and that had to be what a heck of a year for him as a first-year head coach in the NFL to take them into the second round of the playoffs and lay the groundwork he did. I mean, we couldn't ask for a better start as fans, and I'm sure he couldn't as well.
Yeah, and if I'm him, I reach out to Coach Matt Nagy and ask him what he thought went wrong. Right, and I try to find guys and but I'm serious. History leaves clues, man. You know, history leaves clues, and you think you're moving everything in the right direction, and just kind of like what he would have done different. It doesn't mean that, you know, everything he says you take it as gospel, but it does mean you may pick up one or two things. Is how do you get this thing moving in keeping it going in the right direction? Because sometimes, like you know, Pat, the second year of your program is harder. Right, it's harder, and you never know what's going to happen. You never know how a year goes. So to keep things going, to keep stacking blocks, to keep things going in the right direction, man, is something that it looks like this team is going to do, but it's not going to be easy.
There's a ton of turnover in the NFL. And if you look at different teams, usually the first year of the head coach to the second year, the head coach – doesn't know all the players, so he learns them as the year goes on, and there may be some that he, and you know, this goes for coaches as well, but there may be some changes that he wants to make or some ideas he has to improve that aren't obvious to all of us, that might be different than something we would do if we were in charge of the team. So I wonder how much that comes into play as well.
Yeah, are you saying like he's waiting on maybe another coach for their contract to end, kind of knew
exactly.
It would end this year to bring in maybe
– you never know.
I'm just going to say a tight ends coach or a young guy that he wants to bring in. Yeah.
Someone he's that worked with before that he thinks is really good at his job and he didn't have a chance to hire him. And that's just with coaches. I'm saying with players too, you may think differently about someone than you did going in. And that applies to the defensive coordinator since he's kind of running – his own little fiefdom on the other side of the ball. Ben doesn't seem to really be interjecting different ideas there. I'm wondering, especially for a guy like Dennis Allen, if you had somebody that you coached that you really liked and now they're available, oh, we got to go get this guy, or I really need this guy, or we should get someone like this guy. I'm just saying, you never know until it starts happening how much turnover is on the way for a team.
Yeah, no doubt. And you never know how much turnover is on the way for, let's say, like guys like Declan Doyle, Al Harris, and Bienemy, right? And,
yes.
Will people want them for different coordinator positions or to, you know, keep their career moving in upward trajectory? So, yeah. And I've seen, Pat, also that when a guy is in charge and he thinks he needs a guy to come in here and it'll be better for the team. And sometimes that doesn't work out. Right. Sometimes it's really going to be an interesting offseason. But man, everything starts with the quarterback and the coach and the play caller and development of the quarterback. And then you have a defense coordinator that's got his shot at being the head coach before. So, you know, maybe he probably won't get another shot for a while. So he kind of got that side set and things look pretty damn good there. At Halas Hall with the play callers and who they have. And I don't expect a special teams coach to go anywhere, but So it looks like the turnover won't be that big as far as systems and schemes go.
Yeah, and then the other thing, too, is just the first year of a head coach, everybody's uncomfortable. I mean, at least I was, Olin. You know, you're always on edge because you're learning all the position coaches. You're learning the coach. You're learning the schedule. And you're hoping, like you said, just like I said earlier, to stay uncomfortable, right? To make sure you're still on edge a little bit, to make sure guys aren't slacking off that, oh, this is, you know, I know how to get through this. No, you've got to keep pressing those guys. You've got to be able to keep pressing those buttons. And it seems like Ben Johnson is that kind of coach. He's very direct, very honest. And I think that goes a long way in a locker room from leaders all the way down, that you make them feel like, hey, I can't walk in and today's not going to be easy. I got to get better somehow, some way. And he seems like a head coach that's going to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the reality of it is that I think, Olin, you may have mentioned this earlier, but Ben Johnson is going to have a lot more say on personnel, et cetera, at Halas Hall. I mean, he's the guy who's the highest paid person there. He makes a lot more money than Ryan Poles does, and it'll be very interesting to see. Again, you know, maybe he had his say as far as the tight end and the wide receiver went with the first couple picks. I don't know how deep that would go or what his ideas are at other spots that aren't offensive, but you know, the general manager would seemingly work for the head coach just based on salaries, etc.
And then you've got to know each other also, right? And
yep.
what they like.
Yep.
And I'm sure they've been talking about it already, right? Ryan Poles and Coach Ben Johnson, Pat. Like, what will we change here? What do you like? What don't you like? This is the kind of player, football player I like. And they've got to know each other a little better. And obviously, success opens your ears a little more, right? It says, okay, man, this guy has got this team going. And you hear the respect he has for the young quarterback, right? And talking about how he makes him right. And sometimes he makes some really bad calls, and this guy makes me correct. He's an eraser out there. We talked about how he's a multiplier for his teammates, and now his coach is calling him an eraser, that he erases mistakes that people make. And now you got Ben Johnson saying, look, these are the kind of football players that I want to keep this culture, to keep this group, to keep this building moving in the right direction towards the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and also, guys, Dennis Allen and Ryan Poles getting to know each other, understanding what he wants defensively, how he's building his defense, what he needs over there personnel-wise. That's another thing. You know, I'm sure, obviously, Ryan Poles will probably have more say than Dennis Allen and personnel there, but that conversation and understanding of his defense, of what he needs, how he likes to play, what's the personnel type, what's the body type, that'll help as well. So I think just – and also knowing, well, I don't know if we know, but like that Dennis Allen will be back will make that just a whole lot easier to get that personnel
right.
and the improvement on that defense, kind of fixed.
There's a lot that could go on in the offseason, and there's a lot that goes on in every offseason. But, you know, in a lot of ways, it is almost a relief that we are not obsessed with who should they take in the draft or how you – you know, that promise, that hope, that, it's so overblown. And how many great draft picks have not turned out to be what you wanted them to be or what you thought they would be? It's almost a relief to not have a high draft pick and worry about that as much anymore.
Yeah, and he's proved he can go deep in the draft as well with Kyle Manungai and pull some talent out of there.
Yep.
You got a good young running back with DeAndre Swift, so... I was one, you know, this offseason, I was critical of re-signing Ryan Poles to the extension, but it's shown it's worked. So maybe, you know, obviously I'm wrong, and maybe they can get it all right. You are going to have a lower draft pick, and, you know, maybe I trust in Ryan Poles to get the right guys to fill in these holes.
So I was thinking about, we're going to have to wait a couple of hours this year before the Bears.
I know.
Their first pick, right? And usually when teams pick late like that, you usually pick the best guy on the board, right? You're not taking for position or anything for that matter. So it's just really going to be, okay, who is the best, who's the highest guy on our board here? And I think Ryan Poles says he drafts like that anyway, but I'm sure some of those attributes and the things that that Coach Ben Johnson is looking for his specific football team and football character and guys who compete to the end and the things that he preaches and the culture he's trying to build. And now they're together for a whole year. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what kind of football players they bring into the building. We saw this year was three offensive picks, right? Right off the bat. I wonder if it'll be three defensive picks right off the bat next year, right? And kind of beef up that side of the ball. I'm sure Dennis Allen is saying, man, I could use a Colson Loveland, a Luther Burden myself, right, on this side of the ball. So that'll be very interesting to see which direction they go there when the draft does come around.
And free agency as well. You know, it seems like they're going to – Mully, you probably know better that, you know, what's the cap look like with Caleb being on a rookie contract. What can you bring in free agency-wise to make a splash?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be very interesting because there are some players that they might want to take a haircut, right? There are some players, and that's not, you know, it's a pleasant term for what it is. And, players, no one ever goes to you after you have a great season and says, gosh, you know, you deserve a raise. We should give you more money. But if you have a bad year, you're going to hear about it, and you're going to have people – making decisions. And when you have as many people under contract at a particular position that you need to upgrade, and I'm talking about the defensive line, that becomes difficult without making a move and squeezing money out of some other spot. So it's difficult when you're in this kind of a position and a team is having success and expects great success.
You know what?
Right.
Good problems to have.
Sorry,
about free agency, offensive line, right? They fixed it real fast.
Well, that's,
yes,
you know, I don't know that they have the money to do that again because of that, because they tried to fix the defensive line that it didn't really fix. All right.
Cap's exploding, man.
Yeah, how about this? So listen, guys, great year. Honestly, yeah,
no doubt.
It's just
thank you,
been
Molly.
A joy
thank you, Pat.
To work with you.
Thank you, guys, man.
I loved it. It was just so much fun. And want to thank Tyler Buterbaugh for his great work tonight and his help throughout the course of the year. And Sean, thank you for going the extra mile and cut tape for us, etc. Thanks to Mitch and Ryan and everybody in charge of us. And I don't know, are we going to keep doing it? What the hell? Let's just pretend like they play in Seattle next week and do it again.
We'll break it down during the week. I'll just put their take as their take. I'll give you my thoughts.
Okay, Anthony Heron will be on next. Stay tuned for him. We've got Olin on the score tomorrow morning. Patrick, I believe Tuesday,
yes.
You will be on. So we'll hear from all of us over the course of the week. I will be on the morning show with David, even though he was at the game and we're here. But really fun year, great stuff. And stay tuned for Anthony Heron here on the score.